Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I'm south of Bangor in Waterville, Maine, getting ready to go to the Unity for the Common Ground Fair. And I have the pleasure of speaking today to Chris Lyons. Chris is running for United States Senate as the independent against Shayna Bellows and Susan Collins. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Very good, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. So tell me, Chris, what made you decide to run?
The options that are given are not acceptable. People have forgotten what principles and fundamental values are. It kind of brings me back to my grandparents played a very important role in my life in rural Maine, growing up in Washington County. You say what you mean, and you mean what you say. This is totally gone out of politics. It's about winning elections. It isn't about leadership for the country. It isn't about following the Constitution. It's about getting more donors to win. There's a few people are benefiting on the backs of many others, and this is unacceptable. I'm a voice for option A. The other two are option B.
Great. So if I were to say, what are your major points, the major, you know, things that you think are important to being a senator, what would you tell me?
It would be leadership and getting things done, and not compromising principle. For example, follow the Constitution. That is what you are to do as a senator, whether you're popularly elected or in the past when you were appointed by state legislators. You are to follow the Constitution. If we actually followed the Constitution and then found maybe some shortcomings, we can change it. But we wouldn't know because we haven't been following it. So that's the first role of a U.S. senator, is to represent the state and to follow the Constitution. That is the supreme law of the land.
Great. So what about, do you have other, what do you think about the arming moderate Syrians?
We shouldn't be doing it. I mean, we continually keep getting blowback for this. And again, this is the corruptions that's occurred in politics in the United States. Because we don't follow the Constitution and we just do what we want. A few people or a small group of people are benefiting by arms being supplied to these people. Then our military are sent to the mill to fix the problem that was done before. And what do? We arm them again. We train them again. Taliban became Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda became ISIS, or however it's said.
Whoever they are.
Now it's going to be the Syrian rebels, or the Muslim Brotherhood. How many times are the American people, or the people of Maine, going to put up with this? This is not a dish on the military. Get the politics out of military. Their job is to fight or defend the country first, defend the Republic, defend the Constitution. And if they are involved overseas, they're going into win, not to play politics. This is totally unacceptable. They're sacrificial lambs, and it's obscene.
So what do you think about sending troops to fight the war on Ebola?
It doesn't make sense at all. I mean, how could it? You don't send troops to help somebody with a heart attack, do you? Or an outbreak of herpes. I mean, you just don't do it. You send qualified people. And here's an interesting concept. Where's the World Health Organization and the United Nations in all of this? Here we are giving them, I think it's between $300 and $500 million a year to fund these agencies, to have qualified doctors, nurses, to deal with international Ebola and things.
Yep.
But no, it's not happening. It comes back to the U.S. even though we pay this money, and we're sending the wrong kind of people there. This is crazy.
I imagine you have some thoughts on the borders, our southern borders?
Oh, absolutely. We have to secure our borders. That is what being a nation is. That's what being a state is. And here we are playing politics and fighting endless wars overseas. In the meantime, we're being invaded, somewhat peacefully, but we are being invaded. It isn't about the humanitarian aspect. Anybody can come here. They use the excuse, well, it's hard to be a citizen. Not true. I mean, millions of people get J-1 visas. My wife is a permanent resident. It only took 6 months for that. There's so many other options. Yes, it takes a long time to be a citizen, but it doesn't mean you can't be in the country. You can't break the laws in a country that's based on the rule of law. And it's being allowed, for whatever reason, it's being allowed, and it's totally unacceptable. It's totally unconstitutional. And if you look at the numbers, all the foreign aid we'd given to particularly El Salvador and Nicaragua, it's hundreds of millions of dollars, and they have a small population, and they're still so poor, they're coming into our country. Where did the money go? This
yeah,
is unacceptable.
That's a good question. That is a good question. And let's see, what else did I read that you're... Oh, hemp. You
yes.
want to tell me about hemp?
Absolutely. I'm all about organic farming and environmentally friendly farming, about small farmers, medium-sized farmers. The big farmers, I feel, can be a national security issue. For example, if there is ever an attack, say, on a huge potato farm, and they supply 60% of the potatoes to the country, and there was an attack on them, all of a sudden we have a shortage of potatoes. But if we have 6,000 small potato farmers, they can't do that. But back to the hemp. Hemp is sort of symbolic of the corruption and the lack of value and principles we're finding in politics at this time. Hemp had been a part of our culture in the United States for a long, long time. They tried to stop it in 1937, but because of the World War II, they let it go to 1944. By stopping hemp, it benefited certain other industries at the disadvantage of those who were involved in hemp. They used the drug thing. It is not a drug. It's not an issue. Industrial hemp has anywhere from 0.3% to 0.5% THC. Marijuana has 14 to 25% THC. So it's not a drug thing. Hemp is requires, if any, pesticides or fertilizers, 42% of it goes back into the ground. Let's think of our potato farmers up in Aroostook who are using, to rotate the crops, they use alfalfa. Now, yes, it fixes the nitrogen back into the soil, which is great for the potatoes, but what money are they getting on that off year for alfalfa? Not a lot. Mm-hmm. Hemp, they could. And hemp puts in 42% back into the soil. It's the second most friendly crop that we know of, alfalfa being first. But the commercial value of alfalfa is much less than that.
By friendly, you mean easy to grow?
Nutriently, yes. It puts more back into the environment than
okay.
it takes out.
Okay.
Even apple trees and blueberries and stuff takes more out of the environment than it puts in, where hemp puts
it back in.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
If that's kind of makes sense.
Well, let me ask you. You're an independent.
Yes.
Now, I asked the last independent that I talked to, and I also am independent, but let me just ask you this. Are you a Democrat independent, an independent Democrat, or an independent Republican type?
It's interesting. I'm going to say independent. I find these classifications, whether you're a Libertarian or you're a Green or you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, is other people trying to put you in a box. And they gain control when they put you in a box. I'm not in a box. Any good idea is a good idea, as long as it's in agreement with the Constitution. Now, if a Democrat side has a good idea and is constitutionally correct, great. Or a Republican, same. Or another independent.
Mm-hmm.
No, I will not be put in a box like that, because that's how other people control people.
So when you vote on an issue, let's say you make it into the Senate, you're there, you're ready to vote on an issue, how do you decide? How are you going to vote?
Whether it's constitutionally correct. It's the first thing. Does this agree with the Constitution? Does this protect the individual rights and liberties of every individual in the state of Maine and within the country? Because that's the basis of the Constitution, the rights of the individual, and also the sanctity of life. There's been a new idea it's been around, it came about really in the early 1900s about the common good. That means four have to die for the benefit of the six. Totally unconstitutional ideology, and it doesn't work. We've seen it in many other countries, in many other societies, and billions of people, and it doesn't work. The basis of our form of government is based on each individual's rights, which are equal rights between each individual.
Great. So it wouldn't matter to you who introduced it or what a party leader says. You know, you need to vote this way. We need this. That doesn't really matter to you, Simon?
No, it does not. Not at all. I can't see trading favors. I wouldn't budge. It's the principle first. We can't get correct. We cannot become a prosperous, great country again if we sell out on the principles. And party politics does that.
Great. I actually understand that, but I know a lot of people don't. A lot of people that I talk to, when you tell them, well, no, I'm not either party, neither party really represents my view, they kind of look at you funny, and they don't really understand. You'll eventually get to a point where it suddenly makes sense to you. What am I doing? Why am I involved with these people? You know, and then you think totally differently. And I think a lot of people are on their way there, but they don't quite get it now. You still hear people say, well, I can't vote for Chris Lyons because Susan Collins has more money, or because Shayna Bellows has all the Democrats. You know, instead of just saying, you know what, I like what this guy stands for, let me vote for him, and I don't care if he wins or not, I'm going to do the right thing. And I think that people are slowly getting to that point.
I'd agree. What's an interesting point, too, you mentioned about Susan Collins and her money. I just saw a post from somebody. It's about, well, here's hypocrisy for you. Shayna Bellows is now trying to get millions of dollars. Well, wait a minute. She has about $1 million in campaign money. And Susan Collins had $1.25 million in campaign money. You're calling her a hypocrite, but you're voting for the other one who's big money? Let's be honest. Big money controls this country. And it controls how we vote. Unless people are willing to just dig in a little bit, take 15 minutes a day, half an hour every other day, or 15 minutes every other day, and start looking at the real issues and what's going on, they'll find out they're being controlled and manipulated for the benefit of a small group of people. And we have to shoulder it. And I'm tired of it. And I don't want my kids shouldering it.
Right.
Maine is a special place. It truly is. And people tend to be more independent-minded. I'm not saying that to get the vote that way, but they do tend to think of things more objectively and kind of sense when somebody's playing them.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is, if somebody's given a senator over $1 million for yet again for their reelection, they're not doing it to be nice people. They may want something in return.
They might.
And that goes for Bellows, too. These people she's going after this weekend, the millionaires and billionaires, they're not going to do it to be just nice people.
Right.
They want something in return.
So
I don't want it.
They've got more than $1 million each. How do you stack up with that?
It comes down to grassroots. There's no way I can compare. I can't take, $50,000 TV spots. I can't. But that's the beauty of social media and actually having a great bunch of well-informed people support me. I've got a lot of support even from outside the state. By individuals, not by groups, not by the Chamber of Commerce, not by the military-industrial complex, actual individuals who are doing phone banking for me out of Philadelphia. Another fellow's working on strategies for me from out of Tennessee who has a huge presence on the web. I got other people making me signs in Hollowell. You know, it regardless of the results, it's a beautiful journey. And one of the greatest things that I didn't quite expect as I stepped into this and tried to do something very unique by being independent and being a write-in, saying we've had enough of this being controlled by the two big parties, is there's a lot of wonderful people in this state. There truly is. I've learned so much from individuals. It just comes out of nowhere. Standing outside Maine Med, I was talking to a gentleman. And the knowledge he gave me on what's happening in the medical field now because of what his wife's going through, it was a wonderful conversation. He's a thoughtful and sincere human being. I wouldn't have got to meet Dale if I hadn't been sitting there just handing out flyers to people as they're coming in. So as much as I hope to help other people, it's really helped me too.
Wonderful. So if I wanted, well, I'm here with you, but if one of our listeners wanted to support you, say monetarily, and send you some money, how would they do that?
Just go to my website, www.chrislyons.com. And I will be sending out an appeal very soon. I haven't really done that. I've had some donations. I've used quite a bit of my money, which isn't a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm calling it the $5 appeal. You know, I do have a lot of support. I have a lot of people who love the idea. A lot of people love the stances I'm representing. This isn't about me. It's about the principles and values I'm representing. And so just $5 makes a big difference. It's signs. And that's really what it's going for. It's for the voters' list to mail out to people in signs. That's all we really need at this time.
Great. Chris, is there anything else before we finish this interview that you think that people should know about you or your campaign?
Yes. I'm the real deal. I'm not going to Washington, D.C. to be liked. I am going there to basically wage war. I will be, once elected, I am appointing people not who are already in the system, but people with character, character first, and brains. And we're going in. We're going to do some things. We have an interesting strategy for the restoring hemp cultivation, which was part of it. We're not selling out. We're not selling out. We're going to stick to our principles, and it's going to be ugly.
Great.
But it's only for 6 years.
You're not going to run a second term if you were to win?
If I could, this is how I'm looking at that. If I go in and do what I say, which I will, the people will know it. They would reelect me. Two, I've promised, and I sent it out a press release, which most of the press hasn't put out there, but we're working on that. We'll see if we can get them to put it out there, that I commit. It is going to happen. Special interest money is going to be thrown at me once elected. I'm not taking it. It's not going to sway my vote. It's not going to change anything. However, that money is going to go back to needs and charities here in Maine. It's not a reelection fund. It's going right into Maine for the people who need it the most. I don't need it. If I do my job, I don't need $1 million to get reelected. We're a small state. People will know.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Chris. And you, again, your website is www.chrislyonsussenate.com.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye-bye.